Edelhume Methodist Church are marking 50 years in the current premises. And realise, gosh, time goes by. As part of the celebration, some runners from the church, including Reverend Philip Peacock, are seeking to run 50k between them. Oh, I thought it was each. Between them. Well, to raise money for various charitable causes. They will be running at Heaton Park on September 2nd. It doesn't actually have an invite to anybody who wants to run the 50k. Their charities are Beechwood, Karen Sir Care, Retrack, Smile Train UK and Victor. If you'd like to support them in their fundraising, you can donate online. I have the full HTTP address, which I won't try to read, but I think if you go to Virgin Money Giving and then Cheadle Hume, we'll get the information around somehow. But if you follow Cheadle Hume Methodist Church on Virgin Money Giving, then you can support that. Welcome to Malcolm Gunn, who is from the Cheadle Hume Church, and I haven't actually asked if he's.
I'm not a priest. I've subcontracted that out to my daughter.
That sounds the right way to be doing things. So that's one way of introducing Malcolm Gunn to our pulpit. It's lovely to see you again. It's been a little while, Malcolm,
yes.
And it's lovely to see you with us again. So we look forward to you leading us in worship after our introit from the choir.
Good morning. Yes, it is a long while since I've been here, but it is great to be back. Before we do start, I will put in a plug for that run. My daughter's running. One of the charities that she chose is Smile Train, which, if you know, goes to third world countries and provides cleft lip and palate surgery for children, which is life-changing. My daughter's chosen that because she was born with a cleft lip and palate, and the surgeons and the medical staff here in the UK have been incredibly good to her, and she's going to pay some of that kindness back. As we come to worship, let's pray. Mighty and most holy God, giver of all good gifts, we come today before you as members of your body. We are joined in praise and worship as we learn from you and share with each other. Bind us up, Lord, we pray, as we drink in the wonders of your presence. Amen. Let's sing. I'm hoping the choir is going to lead us in all these, because you certainly don't want me leading you in all these. Let us build a house where love can dwell. I got the letter to say I was preaching here. It didn't mention there might be some children, so I've got a couple of videos and I'm confident they are all age appropriate. So, technology, let's hope this goes through smoothly. Yes, let's have a look at this if we can. Ooh.
Now go! Hurry!
Sometimes people have to come together to do things that they're never ever going to be able to do on their own. Those fish swimming around in the net, all doing their own thing, were never going to get anywhere. When we, sometimes churches are like that. They're our net. We all go and do our own thing because we think it's the right thing. We don't focus on the important thing. What is God calling us to do? And sometimes that call that God gives us, actually, we start off in the direction we don't think. The fish had to swim down to get out. But when they all worked together, not only did they burst free of the net, there was a joy, there was an excitement. And we need to work together as churches, as individuals in churches, to find what our call is and allow ourselves to burst out. But I thought we'd have a look at all sorts of different things where people come together to do something that they could never do on their own. And there have been one or two things on the television recently, so I don't know if you can think of any. I've got a few examples, but where people come together as a unit to achieve things. Kick off. England football team. They're a lot better together than individually. One of them was never going to do anything. But when they talked, they all talked about team. They all talked about colleagues, more so than about themselves. About what we do together. These are some of the people who came together to rescue those young children from the cave. An incredible number of people bringing a whole diverse set of skills to deliver one very specific target. Get those children out alive. Without thinking of the consequences, or thinking of them but overriding the consequences to themselves. And as we know, one fine rescuer never came home. Anyone watch the Tour de France? See, that's incredible, because that each team has all sorts of different people, doesn't it? It has climbers, it has sprinters, it has people who just cycle up and down with the water and the drinks. And they ride together. They're all competitive. Every single one of those racers in any team wants to win. If they didn't, they wouldn't be there. And yet, they give up their own chance in order that the team can succeed and one of their team might win. Riders ride sacrificially. If you've watched it, some riders ride at the front and push themselves until they can go no further to allow their team. They are focused on what the team can do. They have a clear objective. They don't go off cycling individually. They work together. And I thought we'd have one more look at a video of another team that works almost perfectly. Takes a bit to get going, but when it gets going, you've got to watch because it happens very quickly. I don't know how long that one took. It normally takes about 2.5 seconds to change 4 tyres. But what did you see? Teamwork. Everybody had a task. It went very quick. Well, the change went quickly. But did you notice, as we were waiting, one person, I've no idea what, picked up a little something. They're absolutely focused on what their task is, and nothing is going to get in the way of it. There's an incredible amount of trust. When a car's coming to you at 80, 90, 100 kilometres an hour, you kind of put a lot of trust in the driver that he's going to spot it absolutely on the dot. And every member of the team trusts each other. The one putting the wheel on has to trust that the one taking the wheel off has done it. It doesn't wait to see, just trusts that it's happened. And what we didn't see was, there's no squabbling. There's no fighting over the wheel gun, saying, I want to do that. Everybody has a role, and they practice and they focus. And I don't know if you notice, but those little tasks are equally important. Two people came up and just brushed the front of the car. Incredibly important for the way the car works. There was a couple of people who just stand around in case something doesn't go quite right. And they are ready. But every single one of them is focused on the task in hand, which is to get that car back out. Now, I don't know whether Winslow Church works as smoothly as that. Cheetah Hume doesn't. I'll be honest, it doesn't. But we'll have a look today at part of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he talks about unity, the importance of unity, and some of the characteristics that we need to adopt in order to work towards that unity. So we'll come back to that again. But now, as we think about unity, we come before God with some prayers of praise. Let's pray. For all we have in Jesus, we thank you, God. For all we have in each other, we thank you, God. For the opportunities we have to share our gifts, we thank you, God. For the joy of seeing people grow in their gifts, we thank you, God. For our own joy when we know we are serving others, we thank you, God. For the camaraderie that working together for you brings, we thank you, God. For making us one family, we thank you, God. Amen. Sing again. This time it's number 706. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Let's sing. Let's come to before God as we bring our prayers of confession. Let's pray. Lord, your world is full of beautiful gifts, but sometimes we don't see them. We're sorry, Lord. Help us to see with your eyes. Sometimes we take our gifts for granted, see them as our own property. We boast about them when we should be using them for the benefit of others. We're sorry, Lord. Help us to live in your love. Sometimes we know you are calling us to use a gift, but we hold back and someone suffers. We are sorry, Lord. Help us to be brave in your love. Sometimes we use our gift when we should be giving someone else the chance to use theirs. We are sorry, Lord. Help us not to be too proud to step back. There are times when we look at others and judge. Help us to see past the outward appearance to the heart that lies within. We're sorry, Lord. Give us eyes to see others as you see them. Amen. It's time to take up our offering. So if the stewards would wait upon you. To you this offering. It is but part of what belongs to you. All we have and all we are belong to you. Take this offering, take us and use them for your glory. Amen.
The reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way to him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Amen.
Thank you. Working together in unity. Or not working at all. We need to focus on what brings us together, not what splits us up. We are all children of God. We are all followers of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Sometimes we might forget. So as we think about unity, we focus on the cross. Now, once when I was at a conference speaking, somebody came up afterwards and said, "You sounded more like a preacher than a presenter." Well, this morning I might, at the start, sound more like a presenter than a preacher. But we've seen how groups of people can and do come together in unity of purpose, using their specific gifts to do something more than they could do on their own. But I thought I would start by telling you about something that happened at that same conference. Now, it's a bit of a strange place to start, talking about a technology conference, stood in front of a church, but bear with me and see where it goes. The gentleman I was listening to was talking about teamwork and how incredibly difficult it was to get people in a work environment from different backgrounds, with different experiences, with different skills, with different personal drivers, to come together as a single team. And as happens at these sort of events, I was half listening and half playing on my phone. So if you are playing on your phone here, don't feel guilty. We all do it. But there I was, and then suddenly this man says something that grabbed my attention. So he'd gone on about teams, and then he said, "When I became a Christian," and now he's got my attention. That's a bit of a shock. I'm sat here, supposedly learning about technology, and someone stands up in front of 1,000 people and says, "I'm a Christian." That was an incredible witness in itself. There he was, making a very clear statement about who he was. Anyway, he carried on. about when I became a Christian and I joined a church, he said, I thought, this is it. This is going to be the place where teamwork comes together. A set of people with a common goal, setting out to achieve a common purpose. All who have given their lives to Christ. So, he said, I was then asked to go on the leadership team, and I was really excited, he said, because I was expecting we were going to be able to do great things. And then he said, most dysfunctional set of people I'd ever met. He then went on to talk about all sorts of different things about teamwork. And we're going to have a look at what Paul said in part of his letter to the Ephesians about coming together as one body. But did that statement about a church surprise you? Did you think, well, you're right, yes, churches don't work well? Or did you feel, how dare he? We work very well together. We are a perfect team. It rang true for me, and it made me think about how I react at church and outside of church. Wasn't the message I expected to hear at a technology conference, but there you go. God speaks to us in many different ways, and sometimes in some very surprising places. And as he talked about dysfunctional teams and perhaps a dysfunctional church, Paul's letter hints that perhaps it's always been that way. Perhaps it's something that the church has always struggled with. History would show us that it has. The church has split and divided and shouted at itself and different parts of it and fractured and diverged. We've not learnt or come very far since Paul was writing that letter. But let's have a look at what Paul is talking about. It's not a good time for Paul, and yet he's still encouraging others. And he gives some really helpful, if somewhat difficult, advice. I love the wording, and then it scares me to death. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Okay. That's great words, but makes me feel uncomfortable. Be completely humble. Gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Be humble, gentle, patient, remain bonded together. It is great advice, isn't it? But do we always follow it? Is that because we see some of those things as being signs of weakness? Do we think we're stronger than that, we're better than that? That we are strong enough to do it on our own? That our way is the right way? Saw a statement on a mug at work the other day. It said, I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. And there's something of that in everyday life. And there's something of that in churches, in the way we approach things, the way we approach change, the way we approach other people's ideas. Sometimes we aren't as open to others, other ideas as we should be. Because we forget the cross, we forget that we are part of something bigger as individuals, as churches, individual churches. We are part of something bigger. And it is not about us. It is not about the way we want to do things. It is about following the call that we are given. If we spend our time chasing our own thoughts and the way we think the church should go, rather than listening to living a life worthy of the calling that God has given us, that's when we diverge. Paul is encouraging the church to do something very different. He's encouraging it to converge, to work towards togetherness, so that it might become, as he says, as it goes on, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Coming together to mature as a single body. Because we can't do it all on our own. My way is not the right way, your way is not the right way. The way that God calls us is the right way. And we need to bring all our skills and talents together in order to do that. We cannot do it alone. No matter how big, clever, strong we might think we are, we need to come together. Oh well. There's supposed to be a picture of some redwood trees there. There they go. Right. Now, they're huge. They are the biggest living things on the planet. Has anyone ever seen them up front? Have they been? Yeah. They are awesome. They are massive. And we can learn an important lesson from redwood trees. They grow tall and they grow wide and they look strong. And we might think that only a chainsaw would ever bring them down. But when the wind blows, their size can be their weakness. They bend. Their roots are not as deep and strong as we might think from the outside. And because they're so big, the power to bring them down is not as big as we might think. There's a reason redwood trees grow in clumps. Because when the wind blows, they lean on each other. They grow together in order to thrive. You very rarely see a single redwood tree. Those trees, mighty as they look, thrive only when they work together. When we thrive as churches and individuals is when we focus on the cross. And this is about using all the gifts that God has given us to build each other up, to work together, to work together to touch the lives of people around us. It's being comfortable with the skills that we have. It is about being patient and kind and humble and loving. And those four things, there's a real beauty in them because, do you know what? You can do that no matter how old or how young you are. We can all use those skills and we all have other skills and talents. And it's not about looking at someone else and going, oh, I wish I could do that. It's doing, using the gifts we've been given. But we all have our own ideas, don't we, of where we want to go. And the hard bit is focusing on God's call. Because to do, and we do that, then that's when we mature into a single body focused on Christ. And Paul gives some guidelines. He does. But how do we know? How do we know we're following the right path? If the path that we are taking causes harm to others, clearly that's not the right way to go. If the route we take excludes people, there's something wrong with that. If the route we take means we end up judging people and putting people down, there's something wrong with the path we have chosen. Those things that Paul talks about, that humbleness, that gentleness, that patience, that coming together in love, it's about not judging, it is about accepting people, it is about looking past the outward appearance to see the beauty of a life lived, to see people who are following the call that God has given them. And it isn't easy. It's not. We're human beings. We get it wrong. I have a friend, and she has two daughters. Despite many personal issues, these two women live sacrificially. They love deeply. They care about others. They pray regularly. They take people as they find them. During the summer, with their children, they go around charity shops, they go around the sales, they buy up rucksacks and sleeping bags and warm clothing, and they pack them up. And then in the winter, with their children, they go out on the streets and hand those rucksacks out to people in need. These fine, upstanding young women give generously. They live lives that make a difference. They treat people as human beings. And they do it without shouting about it, without telling people about it. They do what God calls them to do. And yet, they're judged. They're judged strangely at church. Because, I don't know why, maybe because they don't look quite like everybody else. They don't dress quite the same. Perhaps their children are freer spirits than some people would like in the church service. Maybe they just don't tick all the boxes that some people expect. And yet, if those who muttered, who passed comment, if they took time to know these young women, instead of ignoring them or expecting them to conform, they would see the love and joy that they bring, the sacrificial way they give. They would see them in a whole different light. Despite everything, these ladies live the life that Paul is talking about here. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble. Be gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. They truly live a life worthy of the calling they have received. Every time I meet them, I am incredibly humbled to think that I call them my friends. Is it strange that the people who are living this life so often seem to be misunderstood? Perhaps that's the way it is. Perhaps these people are guides. Perhaps they're showing us the way, if only we would be prepared to follow. Perhaps they are showing others the way to live the life that Paul is talking about here. The calling we are asked to follow is something that is trying to bring us to unity. It means inclusion. That's hard in itself. It means not causing hurt and pain to others. It means not turning people away. It means not turning our back on people. And that is incredibly difficult. It is. It is. We're human. We get it wrong. We mess up. Well, I can't speak for you, but I get it wrong. I always thought there should be a sign over the preacher with an arrow that says, gets this wrong every day. But I try. We try to move towards a world where people are not judged, where people are loved for who they are. Not a world of clones. A world of loving, caring individuals powered by the love of God, working together to bring the kingdom alive in the lives of those around them. It is about living the life, because Paul later goes on, instead of speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect a mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We grow. The time for speaking finishes. It is about actions rather than words. Stop talking and start maturing, acting in a loving way, so that the whole body comes together focused on Christ. Learn to appreciate the differences. Revel in the differences that people bring. The church wasn't designed for a single specific type of person. The church is designed to revel in differences, all the different skills and talents and history and background that people bring. It's to bring it together, to bring that mosaic together, to make the church alive to those who are still looking. Because the church is built as much for those who are still trying to find our way home to God as it is for those of us who have already accepted Christ as our Saviour. It's about finding that call and following it. The world, more than ever, needs us as Christians to be united. And we can decide to make that difference. We can decide if we want to just follow what we think is right and just carry on like those fish going in all different directions and nothing is ever going to change. Or we can come together in unity, focusing on Christ, living lives worthy of the calling that God has given us. And if we do that, the world will change. Because people will see us differently, the church differently, and they will see something that they want to become part of. Today is the day we can take another step to living that unified life. Amen. The choir were going to do an anthem straight after the reading. But actually, I think it's worked out nicely. We hear the anthem based on Psalm 23, I believe. Thank you. It's time for us all to sing now, as we sing number 43 for Songs of Fellowship, Bind Us Together, which is really what we're all about. Let's sing. Let's talk with God with our prayers of intercession, our prayers for others. Heavenly Father, giver of all good gifts, we pray for all people who are willing to use their time and gifts in the service of others. We pray for all those who set up and work in charitable organisations. Bless them as they so freely give of their time and talents. We pray for people who work together to bring healing, for all the work in hospitals, homes, communities. Bless them as they bring blessing to others. We pray for those who dedicate their lives to serving God in religious orders and communities. Bless them in their gifts of prayer, hospitality and service. We pray for people with the gift of words, for teachers, writers and communicators. Bless the seeds that they sow. We pray for those who don't feel as though they have a gift or feel as if they go unnoticed. Bless them with the knowledge that they matter to you. We pray for our church that it is and it remains a welcoming community, constantly being built up by our love for you. And we pray for your church here in Wimslow, for each and every one of those of us who follow your call. We pray for all of those here at Wimslow who are known to you, who are struggling, who are unwell. May they feel your loving touch on their lives. We pray for each and every one of us, that each day we may live a life that is more humble, more patient, more gentle, that with your guidance we will grow to be the people you know we can be. Amen. We sing our final hymn, which is number 691, What Shall Our Greeting Be? Let's sing.
Continuing on Malcolm's theme of teamwork, remind you all that this is maintenance week in the church. Starting 9 o'clock on Tuesday, there'll be jobs for everybody painted up on the wall, and there's always something somebody can do. Thank you.
Well, I didn't expect that sort of link. That was brilliant. As we go out in unity of purpose. We go in God's name, to live lives worthy of the callings we have been given. May we be willing to receive, respect and reuse the wonderful gifts that God has entrusted to us, to become the people God knows we can be, to make the place God meant it to be. Amen.